أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى. إن إلى ربك الرجعى. أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى. أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى. أرأيت إن كذب وتولى. ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى. كلا لئن لم ينته لنسفعا بالناصية. ناصية كاذبة خاطئة فليدع نادية. سندع الزبانية. كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. This is Surah Al-Alaq, and probably from childhood we've been taught that this is the first revelation that was brought to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Basically, the surah is split up into two parts. One is the first five ayahs that were revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and secondly, it is concerning the actions of one of the open enemies of Islam, Abu Jahl. So we will do the tafsir of each section as it comes along. The most famous riwayah about the first revelation to the Prophet ﷺ is related by Aisha radiallahu anha, and it's a riwayah reported by Shaykhan, meaning the Bukhari and Muslim, the collections of Bukhari and Muslim, and also a riwayat of Imam Ahmad. Aisha radiallahu anha relates, she says, أَوَّلُ مَا بُذِيَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ مِنَ الْوَحِيِ الرُّؤْيَا الصَّادِقَةُ فِي النَّوْمِ. The first thing that the Prophet ﷺ used to get before the wahi actually started, and actually this was a form of the wahi itself, were that he used to get true dreams while he was sleeping. فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيَا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. Whenever he used to see a dream, it was as if he was seeing the dream in broad daylight. This was how clear his dreams used to be. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. Then he used to start liking solitude and staying away from people. فَكَانَ يَأْتِي حِرَى فَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ. And he used to come to the cave of Hira, and he used to stay and worship in and meditate in the cave of Hira. And this used to go اللَّيَالِ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ. He used to go for nights at a time and stay there in solitude. وَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِذَلِكَ. And he used to prepare himself for that in terms of taking provisions and food for the time that he was there. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى خَدِيجَةَ. Then he will come back to Khadija. فَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِمِثْلِهَا حَتَّى فَجَأُهُ الْوَحِي. He used to come to Khadija, then re-prepare himself and take more food, and then go back again until suddenly the wahi started coming to him. And this happened وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ حِرَى. This happened while he was in the cave of Hira. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ فِيهِ. And the angel came to him in it. فَقَالْ اِقْرَى. And the angel said to him, read. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم himself narrates. فقلت ما أنا بقاري. I said to him that I'm not a qari, I don't know how to read. قال فأخذني فغطني. He grabbed me and he covered me. حتى بلغ مني الجهد or الجهد. Until it came to a point where I was, you know, I was under extreme pressure. Al-jahad, al-juhud means difficulty, hardship, meaning this angel, meaning angel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salam, he grabbed him and he felt the pressure of this grabbing and holding. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. Then he let go of me. فَقَالْ اِقْرَى. He said to me again, اِقْرَى, read. فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِي. I said again, I'm not a qari, I don't know how to read. فَغَطَّنِي الثَّانِيَةِ. And he grabbed me a second time. حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجُهُدْ. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي فَقَالْ اِقْرَأْ. Then he did that the second time until again I felt the pressure of him holding me until until it was very hard for me, then he let go of me. فَقُلْتُ مَا He said again the third time, اقرأ. And I said to him the same thing, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِي. فَقَطَّنِي الثَّالِثَ حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهَدِ. Until he grabbed me a third time, until he was putting a lot of pressure on me, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. And then he let go of me. And then after that, he started reciting these verses. اقرأ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. Read in the name of your Lord who recited, until he reached مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. So basically, the first five verses were revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So then, the Prophet ﷺ, obviously he panicked, because he had seen something. If we had seen something of a supernatural nature like that, a jinn or something that we've never experienced before, we would obviously be upset. And he came running down the mountain, and he was shaking and trembling. حَتَّى دَخَلَ عَلَىٰ خَدِيجَةَ He came to Khadija رضي الله عنها. فَقَالْ زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي Cover me, cover me. Because he was feeling feverish. فَزَمَّلُوهُ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الرَّوْءُ So they covered him until that feeling of fear had subsided. And he said, Ya Khadija, Mali. He said, Oh Khadija, what is going on with me? What is happening to me? وَأَخْبَرَهَا الْخَبَرُ And he told her everything. وَقَالْ قَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي And he said that I'm afraid upon myself. I'm afraid upon myself, what's going on with me? فَقَالَتْ لَهُ كَلَّا أَبْشِرْ She said, certainly not. Have the good news. This is good news for you. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would never disgrace you. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمْ You are such a person that you enjoin relationships with people. وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ And you always tell the truth. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبِ And you bear the burden of orphans and poor people. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ And you take care of the guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ And you are always pursuing the avenues of the truth. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَتْ بِهِ خَدِيجَةَ حَتَّى أَتَتْ بِهِ وَرَقَ بْنِ نَوْفَلِ Then Khadija, she took him to somebody who was known as Waraqa ibn Nawfal ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza ibn Qusay. He was a cousin of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. وَكَانَ مْرُؤٌ قَدْ تَنَصَّرَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ He was such a person who had adopted the Christian religion in the days of Jahiliyyah. وَكَانَ يَكْتُبُ الْكِتَابَ الْعَرَبِي He used to write in Arabic. وَكَتَبَ بِالْعَرَبِيَّةِ مِنَ الْإِنْجِيلِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَكْتُبُ And he had written from the Injil, from the Bible, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined to be written. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا قَدْ عَمِيًا He was an old man who had become blind. فَقَالَتْ خَدِيجَةَ أَيَّ ابْنُ عَمْ خَدِيجَةَ رضي الله عنها said to him, Oh my cousin, اسمع من ابن أخيك Listen to your nephew. Listen to your nephew. فَقَالَ وَرَقَ ابْنَ أَخِي مَا تَرَى Oh my nephew, what is it? What's going on? فَأَخْبَرَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَا رَآ And the Prophet ﷺ informed him of everything that he had seen. فَقَالَ وَرَقَ هَذَا النَّامُوسُ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُوسَى This is the same messenger that was descended, that had descended upon Musa ﷺ. لَيْتَنِي فِيهَا جِدْعًا I wish that I was still young. لَيْتَنِي أَكُونُ حَيًّا حِينَ يُخْرِجُكَ قَوْمُكَ I wish that I could be alive when your people turn you out. So the Prophet ﷺ was astonished. Because he was known as As-Sadiq, he was known as Al-Amin. And here Waraqa ibn Nawfal is telling him that you are going to be thrown out of your own city. So he said, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَوَمُخْرِجِيَهُمْ They're going to turn me out, they're going to throw me out. فَقَالَ وَرَقَ نَعْمْ Waraqa said, yes. لَمْ يَأْتِ رَجُلٌ قَطُّ بِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُوذِيَ Any time somebody has stood up with the same message that you have stood up with, he was persecuted. وَإِن يُدْرِكُنِي يَوْمُكَ أَنْصُرُكَ نَصْرًا مُؤْزَرًا. And if I find that day, if I'm alive till that day, when that happens, I will help you to the best of my ability. And then it is mentioned in the riwayah that Waraqa, he passed away, and then Wahi, it stopped coming for a while. Now, you know, some people have jumped upon this thing, Wafatar al-Wahi. The Wahi stopped coming for a while. They accused the Prophet ﷺ of taking stories from Waraqa ibn Nawfal. So when he passed away, the Wahi stopped coming, meaning he had nobody to copy it from. So bear in mind that the meeting with Waraqa, it began right at the beginning of Islam. It happened right at the beginning of Islam, and he passed away right at the beginning of Islam. So the idea of copying the Bible from Waraqa, it is basically impossible to have happened. So this is the story related by Aisha radiallahu anha about the first wahi that came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we look at the first verses and we see what are they talking about. The first word to be ever revealed is what? Iqra, read. Read, 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 three times. And across the five verses that were revealed, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions things attributed to knowledge across the board. So Iqra, he mentions in the first ayah, and then after that again Iqra in the third ayah. Allama, ta'aleem, it is mentioned in the third ayah, the fourth ayah, sorry. Al-Qalam is again mentioned in the fourth ayah. Allama again is mentioned in the fifth ayah. Ma lam ya'lam, the word of knowledge, is mentioned in the fifth ayah. So in five ayahs, there are five references to knowledge. Five references to knowledge, which tells us the importance of seeking knowledge. The importance of seeking knowledge and making sure that we learn as much as we can. Because a person, according to a riwayah of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ هُمَانِ لَا يَشْبَعَانِ. There are two kinds of greedy people who never get full. Who are they? The first one is صَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ, and the second one is صَاحِبُ الدُّنْيَا. The person who has knowledge, he will always be seeking knowledge and wanting more knowledge as much as possible. And a person who pursues the dunya, the worldly life, they would never become full with the things that they are pursuing. And the riwayah goes on to say, وَلَا يَسْتَوِيَانِ, they can never be equal. فَأَمَّا صَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ فَيَزْدَادُ رِضَى الرَّحْمَنِ. The person who pursues knowledge, he increases in the pleasure of Rahman, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا صَاحِبُ الدُّنْيَا فَيَتَمَادَى فِي الطُّغْيَانِ. He competes with other people in transgressing and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens in the majority of cases. When a person has money, then more often than not, he becomes disobedient for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and then the Rawi, he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّأَهُ اسْتَغْنَى, which actually comes later on in the surah, that when a person, he becomes ghani, he perceives himself as ghani and rich, then he becomes a transgressor. And the person of knowledge, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The people who have the true knowledge, they have the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back to the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Created what? خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. He created the human being from عَلَقْ. عَلَقْ means a clot of blood. So this is basically the beginning of life. After the egg is fertilized, then the first thing that happens is that that piece of that fertilized egg becomes like a congealed clot of blood. And alaq is the plural of alaqa, and which is mentioned in other verses in the Quran. So he created the human being from alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read, and your Lord is the most generous. Alladhi 'allama bil qalam. Generosity here is defined by ta'aleem. Ta'aleem. Generosity, the most generosity is ta'aleem, of course. We would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous in so many ways. He has given us so many blessings. But the biggest blessing that the human being has been given is the blessing of knowledge. So all of the things that we are progressing in and the scientific discoveries that we are making, and we are flying across the oceans in the airplanes and the jets, and we are sailing in the seas, and we have all of this technology, it is because of the knowledge given only to the human being. Otherwise, the animals have been here just as long as the humans, the monkeys have been here, and the other animals have been here just as long as us, but they never got that knowledge that we have. They've never progressed as we have. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He taught the human being, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, and this is the biggest generosity that we can understand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we would be living just like the animals, with no progress, with no technology, with no air conditioning as we have here right now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's taught us these things. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, He taught with the qalam, He taught with the pen. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, He taught the human being what he did not know. So everything we have, every knowledge that we have, every discovery we make, it is because of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who blesses us with these things. From these verses we can also understand you can summarize knowledge into three kinds. The knowledge that you read, the knowledge that you write, and the knowledge that you have in your mind. Okay, so these are the three types of knowledge that we can derive from here. From Iqra, reading, Al-Qalam, writing, and عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, the knowledge that a person has within him. So these are the three types of knowledge that we can derive from here. But in any case, the first and foremost thing that we can understand from these verses, the importance of knowledge. And again, there are so many riwayat, so many hadith which talk about the blessing of those people who go and seek knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahhala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah. Whoever adopts a path of seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the way of Jannah easy for him, makes the way of paradise easy for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves the student of knowledge so much that even the angels, they come and put their wings underneath the feet of the student of knowledge. You've heard about the red carpet treatment, when you put a red carpet out for a dignitary. So the dignitaries, the true dignitaries, are the ones who are the students of knowledge, who seek knowledge to a degree that even the angels are blessed by their presence, and they even put their wings underneath the feet of the angel, underneath the feet of that student of knowledge. Just imagine how much honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to that student of knowledge. And it's mentioned in the hadith that all of the creation, they pray for him, for his maghfirah. Even the fish in the sea, and the ants in their holes, the birds in the sky, they all pray for that person who seeks knowledge. And why is that? The scholars say that when a person seeks knowledge, then he spreads khair, he spreads goodness, he teaches people what is right and what is wrong. And when people understand what is right and what is wrong, people are guided, and they're on the straight path, they're on the right path, this averts the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This takes away the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away from the creation, automatically the fish, they are saved from the punishment of Allah. The ants, they are saved from the punishment of Allah. The birds, they are saved from the punishment of Allah. So why should they not pray for that person who seeks knowledge? Because of that student of knowledge, khair comes into this world. So, there are so many hadith about that, and we should first and foremost do our utmost to seek knowledge and become like the scholars about whom the Prophet ﷺ said, the ulama are the waratha, the inheritors of the Anbiya ﷺ. The ulama, they are the inheritors of the Anbiya ﷺ, because the Anbiya ﷺ, they did not used to leave dinar and dirhams and pounds and shillings and dollars and cents as their inheritance. بَلْ وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ. They used to leave knowledge behind. And those ulama, those scholars who learn that knowledge, they learn the Quran and the Sunnah, and then they propagate it, they are propagating and they are distributing the wiratha of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It's mentioned that, I believe, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he went to the marketplace once and he saw people going about their business, and he said, "What is wrong with you people? Do you not know that the wiratha of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being distributed in the masjid?" So people rushed to the masjid thinking that some wealth is being distributed, and they saw that, you know, some people are learning and teaching Quran, some people are learning and teaching hadith, some people are sitting and talking about fiqhi issues. And the people were surprised. They said, "Where is the wiratha being distributed?" He said, "Look right in front of you. This is the wiratha of the Anbiya alayhi salam. This is the wiratha of the Prophet alayhi salam that you see being distributed in front of you." So we should be amongst those people. We should try to make our children from the scholars and imams of the future, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do so. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into describing a person who transgressed. And the majority of the mufassirin say that the next verses they're talking about Abu Jahl, who is the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, "Kalla إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى." Certainly, the human being, he transgresses. Why does he transgress? أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Because he sees himself as being rich. And we see, again, the majority of times, when people become rich, they become well off, then they forget what they are supposed to be doing as Muslims, and they forget their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the majority of cases. Otherwise, there are a few rich people who are still obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfill the rights of their wealth. But the majority of the cases, a person tends to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Mufassirin say that this verse is particularly about Abu Jahl. But again, we've mentioned before, al-ibratu li'umum al-lafz, la li-khusus al-mawarid, that the generality of the wording will be taken into account. That every single person who falls under the definition of this verse, he is included in these verses. Not just Abu Jahl. Even though Abu Jahl was who this verse was revealed about, but any person who falls under the category of the description of what these verses are talking about, they are counted amongst those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the human being, he transgresses. أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He sees himself as being rich. إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رُجْعَى. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that everybody is going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is going to stay forever. The wealth that we accumulate, the savings that we have, the houses that we have, the car that we drive, we're going to leave everything behind. So the address is actually to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجَعَ. Indeed, to your Lord is the return. And again, because Abu Jahl was giving the Prophet ﷺ a hard time, the Prophet ﷺ is being consoled that don't worry. You know, let him have his time. Let him do what he wants to do. Let him give you a difficult time. But ultimately, what's going to happen? إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجَعَ. Indeed, to your Lord is the return. And there's a very fine point in this addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbika ruj'a, Rabbika, to your Lord. That basically is giving the Prophet alaihi wasallam the honor of being honored with being called, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being called the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To a point like, you know, when we say, you know, when we have like connections high up in the government or something, you know, "I've got my own people." This is the way we say it. "I've got my people in high places." You know. So similarly, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَ. Indeed, to your Lord is the return. O Prophet of Allah, everything that is happening to you, the harm that is being done to you, and the difficulties that you're going through, it's going to come to an end where everybody's going back to your Lord. Basically, you will be avenged, O Prophet of Allah, on the Day of Judgment. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Do you see the one who forbids? عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. The slave when he prays. It refers to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was given the wahi, he started on occasion coming and praying in the vicinity of the Kaaba. And Abu Jahl had warned him. He said that if I ever see you coming and praying like this, I'm going to come and crush you, you know, put my foot on your neck and crush your neck. A'udhu billah. So one time he saw the Prophet ﷺ and he approached him to try to do that. But then he turned back again. So the people said, what happened? You were making so many threats, but he's praying. So what happened? So he said, as I approached him, I saw this deep ditch which was full of fire, and I saw a creation which I've never seen before, and they were getting in between me and him. So I had to turn back. So despite this, despite seeing these things, Abu Jahl still did not accept Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said that these angels, they were waiting for him. If he had tried to go past those angels, they would have ripped him apart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this issue. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Do you see the one who forbids? عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. The slave when he is praying. The word abd has been mentioned for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times in the Quran. For example, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Referring to the night of Isra and Mi'raj, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem and then up to the heavens to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word abd is used. And in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا. So again, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying and making qiyam, the people, they stand up to try to torture him. So abd is being used, and this is again an honor that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being used, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being used with such terminology, you know. And this is something which, again, if you delve into the Arabic language, sometimes the idafa and possession, it indicates honor. Okay, so you say, you know, he's a servant. Okay, big deal, he's a servant. But if you say he's a servant that works, and he works for the king, and he lives in the palace, from being a lowly servant who nobody takes, you know, who nobody cares about, he suddenly become the servant who lives in the palace and he serves the king by himself. So abd, when the Prophet ﷺ, he is being referred to as abd, this is the greatest honor, that he is abd, abdullah, he is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of the kings, the king of kings. أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. What do you think? If he is on guidance, meaning, O Abu Jahl, O people who are against the Prophet ﷺ, what do you think? He is telling you this message, he is giving you guidance. What if he is on the truth? What if he is on the true path, and you keep on rejecting him, and you keep on turning him away? أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. Or he's ordering you to have taqwa. What's wrong with that? He's telling you to do a good thing. He's not telling you to do a bad thing. He's telling you to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the taqwa, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَرَأَيْتَ إِن كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Do you think that if he rejects and he turns away, does he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him? So again, the Prophet ﷺ, he is being told that if he rejects the message, he rejects the responsibility that is given to him, or he turns away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. So what does that mean? The Prophet ﷺ, he will also be held accountable for not fulfilling the message. So in all cases, the Prophet ﷺ is doing what he is supposed to be doing. He is propagating the message. If he is propagating, he is doing what he is supposed to be doing. And when he is not propagating, then he is turning away and shirking his responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him accountable for it. Also, one of the tafsirs of Alam Ya'alim bi anna Allah yara, it is that does he not know? Does Abu Jahl not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything? So he's watching what is happening, and he will hold Abu Jahl accountable on the Day of Judgment. كَلَّا لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly, if he doesn't stop, then we will grab him by the forelock. Meaning we'll grab him by the hair which is on the forehead. Meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to Abu Jahl if he does not stop what he's doing. What kind of forelock does he have? What kind of forehead does he have? نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ A forehead which is lying and it is incorrect, it is making a mistake. The doctors, the scientists say that the front of the head is where a person, he makes plots, and the front of the brain is the portion where a person, he makes schemes and lies. So this goes in accordance with what this verse is saying. Nasiyatin kadhibatin khatiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he will grab him by the forelock, the forehead, which is lying and it is making a mistake. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ He should call his supporters. According to a riwayah, Abu Jahl passed by the Prophet ﷺ. It's a mention by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُصَلِّي عِنْدَ الْمَقَامِ The Prophet ﷺ was praying at Maqam Ibrahim. فَمَرَّ بِهِ أَبُو جَهَلْ بْنِ هِشَامِ And Abu Jahl passed by him. فَقَالْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَلَمْ أَنْهَكَ عَنْ هَذَا O Muhammad, didn't I forbid you from doing this? وَتَوَعَدَهُ And he warned him of consequences. فَأَغْلَبَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَانْتَهَرَهُ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he became upset at him. فَقَالْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ تُهَدِّدُنِي O Muhammad, which thing are you threatening me with? What support do you have that you are threatening me with in such a way? أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَكْثَرُ هَذَا الْوَادِي نَادِيًا He said, I have the most support in the whole of this valley. I have so many supporters, so many friends, so many people that can back me up. Who do you have? So, this verse was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm going to grab him by his forelock, فَلْيَدْوَ نَادِيَهُ He can call his supporters, whatever he likes. Nothing, they can do nothing for him. Why? سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةُ We will call Zabaniya. We will call the Zabaniya angels. Zabaniya basically refers to the security that a king has. This is known as the Zabaniya. And these are specifically angels that will come to punish a person, and they are known as Zabaniya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةُ We will call Zabaniya. We will call the angels and see what the supporters of Abu Jahl can do against them. كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاخْتَرِبْ Certainly, do not obey him. Do not obey Abu Jahl, who is telling you not to pray. Don't obey him. Continue to make sajda. وَاسْجُدْ Make sajda. وَاخْتَرِبْ And get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to hadith, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ The closest that a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is in the state of prostration. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا الدُّعَاءَ Make plenty of dua while in the state of prostration. So you should learn the du'as that are related by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put them into practice. Okay, while in the state of prostration, especially when a person is praying in nafil prayer, he can make plenty of dua and the time for prostration is the time in which the du'as are accepted the most. This ayah is actually ayat of sajda tilawah, so everybody is requested inshallah to make sajda tilawah after the lesson is finished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.